Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Cynthia Giles, who started Cutthroat Marketing in 2017, and she has discovered her passion for helping people explore how digital marketing and technology can play in to their advantage in business. Today, we're going to be discussing Cynthia's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Cynthia.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I really look forward to this experience.
Absolutely. So let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So to get started, you know, what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, so that's actually a really funny question. My whole entire life, I grew up and my grandpa owned a small business and my mom was a social worker for nonprofits. And so I've always understood, you know, the hustle behind, you know, being your own entity, right? And yes, being your manager and your employer at the same time. And so my passion that really motivates me is helping these smaller mom and pop shops and the nonprofits and the majority of the employers in smaller cities, right? Mm-hmm. And helping them compete in this global environment that is so convoluted and so complicated nowadays. You don't know what you're doing unless you're an IT professional. And so that's what motivates me, is my upbringing and the excitement that you see when people are like, oh my gosh, it's so simple. I didn't realize that's how it worked. And that's just so much fun to see. It makes their life easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I know it's such a great feeling when you really feel like you're making such an impact on these small businesses and helping them with something that's just so beneficial to their business. So how did you get into digital marketing?
I actually got into it with my husband. At the time, we were not married, and I had just moved to South Carolina from the West Coast. And I kind of changed my career in general. When I first moved here, I didn't have a job for the first time in a really long time. And he had started an IT company, and they focused on managed service for small businesses and medium sized businesses. And they brought me in to help with office management and to do marketing. And I found that I was really good at it. And from there, I went to the local technical college here and took a fast track course to be certified in full stack programming, so I could build more complex websites than just those drag and drops that you get out of like Squarespace. And from there, it just blew up. I found I had a natural knack for it. And we left the IT world and got deeper into marketing, in particular with conversion rate optimization and search engine optimization. And we just made that our main focus. We understand how the technology works, so it makes life easier.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. I love that you just went back to school, took that fast track course, and then just ran with it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was a nurse too. So it's completely like different life, right? Like just completely. And it proves that you can do something like that. Now I was 30. And so people are like, oh, you were still a child. But I mean, a lot of people, I think you could do that at 40, 50, 60, if you wanted to. It really is. If you want to make a change, you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in those early days, when you and your husband were first starting out with Cutthroat Marketing, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome?
Oh, man, I feel like every year is a little bit more like a video game for me. I feel like I have to level up something every single year, right? And so the first year, it was trying to determine if I even wanted to be a business owner and how to be a business owner and how to keep growing the business properly and handle funds, right? I think everybody's first year, you realize, oh, you can't just pocket all that money. Otherwise, you have to pay all that money in taxes. And it's really terrifying to learn that. And then my second and third year, it was trying to figure out how to grow and hire without hiring to encourage growth. And so a lot of small businesses do that, right? They keep hiring and they keep trying to fill possible growth, but they don't actually have that growth yet. They don't have that money. And so they're spending future money to try to keep growth happening. Mm-hmm. And I think I fell into that hole that a lot of businesses hit in my second and third year. I kept trying to hire bigger people, bigger talent to try to keep adding on more services so I could be more beneficial to my clients. But I had to fill those services and I had to manage that. And I had to figure out how to manage that and keep track of all the deliverables. And it became a hole for my company. And I switched and I focused more on a profit first focus for running my business and putting profit aside and taxes aside and not hiring for growth or not hiring to contribute to growth, but allowing my growth, allowing me to control my hiring. And I know that sounds very convoluted, but we only hire now if I absolutely have to. And I figured that out in my second and third year. Mm-hmm. And so now my biggest issue this year, I would think, is the uncertainty of politics and the economy, right? I've hit my fifth year in business and I have 12 staff on my payroll now. And marketing is always one of the first services people look at and go, do we really need to do this if things are tight? And so I've been getting a lot of questions from clients asking me, you know, what do I do for my business, and trying to help encourage them to focus on profit first as well.
You know, that's something that has been coming up on the podcast from time to time recently. And, you know, a lot of agencies are, you know, worried that, you know, their clients will be, you know, putting services on hold because, like you mentioned, marketing is obviously one of the first things that gets cut whenever the budget gets tighter. So how are you, you know, working to kind of prevent that from happening, if at all?
What I do from the very beginning, I've tried to offer my services with a little bit of a different style than my competitors. And I've noticed that in the years since I've started, this is actually something that my competitors have started doing. So I'm not trying to, you know, say that no one does this and it's unique to Cutthroat. But what I try to do is encourage the client's participation in our marketing from day one and not just put them in a package, but actually becoming their marketing department and determining the best use of marketing funds and spend based on what actually works in statistics and data and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I've had the trust and the loyalty of my clients that they know that even if there's a dip, that we can look at different ways to change that spend. And so what's been the most beneficial to me in this time is being able to be flexible instead of putting it all into ads where, you know, might not always be the most beneficial. We can move that money and put it into billboards or into radio or whatever the other possible relationships I've made here with, you know, in the different areas I have clients. The other thing that I do is not be afraid to tell them we need to stop these services for a short period of time. So it's not money that you're spending that isn't giving you a return. It will help the client keep a little bit of money in their books. And it also is less work on me and my staff, right? And so it kind of ends up being an even keel. Instead of losing the entire contract, I can be like, these services are not providing you a return on investment. Why don't we pause them for a little bit and see how things look in a quarter? And so I found that just being honest and flexible has been the best way to get through this. And it's something I tell my clients as well, is be honest and flexible. A lot of my clients are having supply chain issues because they're contractors. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're like, how do we get through this? The price has changed. I'm like, just be honest, you know, like,
yeah,
don't provide a hard quote up front. Tell them the price is changing because of supply chain issues and just say, this is what we estimate, but we'll have to give you a final quote when we get to that phase of the project. And it's been beneficial. People would rather just be told the truth than lied to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's so important to really build that trust with your clients, because then, you know, at the end of the day, you're just, they know they can trust you. They know you have their best interests at heart. And I think that's really smart also helping or having your clients take a really active role as well when you're working together, instead of, you know, just sending, you know, a monthly report. And then, you know, sometimes clients will be a little bit confused exactly what was done, you know, during the course of the month. So, you know, really, really ensuring that they're involved and they understand along the way exactly what you're doing for them, and then pivoting as you see fit, I think is a really smart approach.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah. So, you know, if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Don't grow just because you feel like you have to grow. If you are making your payroll, right, and you are making your bills, and growth isn't coming easy to you, then don't force it. Just stay at what you're good at and put money aside and start putting your profit into an account for you later. And then if, as long as you focus on that and you tell your clients, hey, you know, we love referrals, we love reviews, it will come back around. Good quality work will come back around. And just keep focusing on that. That's my biggest piece of advice, is don't force growth. Now, if you're a brand new business, you got to be willing to hit the pavement a little bit. But
yes. Yeah, exactly.
So many people have this urge that they have to be millionaires overnight, and it doesn't happen that way. And it stresses you out. It stresses your staff out, and it makes you cut your quality. And people don't want cut quality any longer. They want quality goods, right? And so focus on your quality. And if you have to, increase your rates a teeny bit, but stay true to what you do and don't force the growth.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, how do you work to grow the company, you know, at a rate that's comfortable for you, of course? You know, how do you bring in more leads into your agency and then close those prospects?
So for us as a web design company, our main focus is, we have two funnels of leads. We have referrals from our clientele, which speaks for itself. Those usually close because someone was like raving about the services we provide, and they told them to call us. And so they're like, I just want to work with you. And it usually closes. Usually I have to tell that person, we don't focus in your industry. I don't think we'd be a good fit. The other side of it is what we like to call our cold leads. And the reason they're cold is because they came in through the website. We don't know them. They don't know us. And so they come in from the search engine optimization that we've put into our website, and they convert through the funnel that we have on the website. They're usually educated to a certain extent of how we provide our services, and that by the time they call us, they want a quote. Sometimes that's usually a flip of the coin, because some people want a package and they want it to be like $200 a month, and we don't offer packages. And so it really comes down to if they're willing to sit on the phone with me and figure out what they need to be able to see that return on investment and achieve their goal as a company. And so at this point in time, because of how small my firm is, I haven't had to put any money behind lead generation, but it is something we're looking at doing this year now that we do have 12 employees. And so we've made some changes to our website to help encourage that lead generation. And I think we're looking at doing some Facebook ads, because we can target behaviors on Facebook and Instagram. And we've found that that will help us get in front of the people that we call our sweet spot. So, you know, the service providers that are, you know, smaller roofers, plumbers, HVAC people, that's what we're really good at for local SEO.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, whenever you are putting together a quote for a cold lead that comes in, is there any, you know, techniques that you've used? Because do you find that they're shopping around usually whenever they're, So how do you typically try to stand apart from any other agencies who may also be doing up quotes for them? Is there anything that you've uncovered?
Yeah, so usually my initial phone call with a customer, a client, a business owner, right, is usually very different from what they've experienced if they're shopping around or if they've dealt with other marketing firms. Usually when someone calls me, because sometimes there's people in my industry that are kind of like used car salesmen and they're very forward and pushy sales, right?
Yeah.
And so when they call me, they're usually very abrasive. They're like, I know exactly what I want. Give me a quote. And I usually have to turn them around and be like, but why are you asking me for that? That doesn't match what you need. Do you understand who your target demographic is? And so I start asking the consumer questions. What is your business? What services within your business do you like providing? And what services within your business do you not like providing? What is your margins within your business? What have you done up to this point? By the time I get off the phone with them, I have a really good understanding of their business and we can come up with a marketing plan together. And so the quote that they're given feels a lot more impactful to them and their business than what they've received in the past, because I actually ask questions about them as a consumer.
Yeah.
And so that is what makes me stand apart right off the bat. But then I give an itemized breakdown quote, and it shows exactly how many hours are going to be spent and what you're getting in an entire build for a website or for ads or anything like that. And every single dollar that someone gives me for ad spend goes directly to ad spend. It does not get, you know, buffered or anything like that. So I'm very transparent, and that helps me stand apart. And if they're only looking for price and they want the cheapest, then I'm probably not that for them unless they're in certain cities. And then I might be the cheapest. It just, I never know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I love that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, helps build that trust as well. You know, when you take that time and you really get that information out of them up front so that you can be putting together a quote that's going to be as beneficial as possible to their business. It just speaks volumes than just, you know, putting together a generic quote. And then, you know, it shows you just put in the extra work up front.
And I would recommend that to anybody. Don't be afraid to ask more questions. Mm-hmm. It will help you weed out if they're going to be a good customer for you too, because if they can't answer some questions to help you provide an accurate quote, then what is going to happen when you're providing that service down the line?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it'll help weed out those customers that aren't a good fit. And it's also going to help you do your job better too, because you're going to have more information.
100%.
Yeah. Awesome. So what is the key to having happy clients? What would you say makes happy clients that is going to help bring in referrals to you down the road?
For me, 100%, it's lead generation. When customers call me, they're usually like, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars and I haven't seen anything in return. My phone's not ringing. I'm not getting form submissions. And not only do I solve their technical problems and make it to where they can actually, you know, receive the forms from the website or use their online tools as effective tools, but they actually see the lead generation happening. In a lot of cases, my clients have seen, you know, 300-400% turnaround in what they started with us. And so
it's delivering those results to them.
Yes. And it's knowing when I can't deliver a result and not being afraid to say, I don't know how to make people call you for that. Mm-hmm. Or saying, you know, I don't know how to make people like you. If you're a motivational speaker, I can't make you rank number one on Google. You have to do that. And so there's just, you have to know where the boundaries are.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very good. And then, so what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome?
For me, it's hiring and just being a manager. I'm 35 years old and, you know, I never thought I would be in this position, you know, running a company like this. And not only am I providing business owners that have been in business for, you know, as long as I've been alive, feedback and telling them how they need to stay relevant, you know, today, and they're listening to me, but I'm, you know, I have staff that are older than me. And so for me, that's my biggest challenge, is just dealing with that imposter syndrome, I guess, in my own right is, you know, am I the one qualified enough to be in this chair right now? Should I be on this podcast with you right now, Julia? I think that's the biggest challenge, and you have to deal with that every day. And I feel like as, you know, a millennial, we probably talk about our mental health more than, you know, older generations would like. But I do think it's important for people to recognize that anxiety is a natural part of it. And it's a challenge that you have to deal with as a business owner.
Yeah, absolutely. So funny. It's so true. About Let's Talk Day now is just like, it's crazy. It's just like exploded on social media now. It's funny. But yeah, okay. So that's awesome. And then so with hiring, how do you run into the issue where it's challenging to work with employees who are older than you?
No, not usually. I at this point in time, I love all of my staff. I think we have a great team. The challenge I find with older employees or older clients is figuring out how to make them not fearful of the change you're trying to implement, right? And so it's more about taking it a little bit slower. And I, as you can tell, am a little bit faster of a person. I talk fast. I like move a little bit fast. And so for me, it's just making sure that I stop and make it clear that they can ask questions. Even if it's as simple as how do I use this piece of technology properly? And as long as they are given the ability to feel like they can use the tool properly, then there's no challenges with older employees, just like there's no challenges with the younger employees. It's the same thing. You know, they grew up with electronic devices in their hands, but the younger employees don't know how to use the tools as well as the older employees do. Mm-hmm. So it's the same challenge, and you just slow down and make sure that they all feel comfortable saying that they don't understand.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. So where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Where do you see Cutthroat Marketing in 5 years' time?
Oh, man. I hope I'm still in the same spot, honestly. I hope I'm still doing Cutthroat. I hope we're, you know, around the same size, maybe a little bit bigger, and that we're still helping customers across the United States. And I hope that none of the conspiracy theories are right and that everything is going to be okay.
Yes, of course. That's awesome. Yes. And then, so do you have any, you know, final thoughts, you know, any like words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners before we move on to the Fast Five?
My word of wisdom would be, don't be afraid to ask for feedback, you know, and then grow from it. You can never stop learning, right? I think someone said that. One of our founding fathers said, when you stop learning, you stop growing, and thus you're dead. So don't be afraid to ask your customers, your employees, everybody for feedback, because it helps you grow. And if you don't ask why, then you don't know what to change.
Yeah, I love that. So true. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the Fast Five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Profit First made a huge impact on me, and I don't have the author right in front of me. I can send that to you in an email. But it was a book about how to run your business and not be eaten alive by the monster that is all consuming time. And it has completely changed the way I run my business. I recommend it to everybody.
I love it. And what does your morning routine look like?
I get up and get out of bed as soon as I can between the hours of 5 and 7 a.m. It just kind of happens, right? Depends on how the night before went. And then I usually get up and hop in the shower and then make myself a cup of hot beverage, whether that be coffee or tea. And then it's straight to work usually.
Okay, very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
This is a hard one. So I love to read quotes and feedback from multiple CEOs, but I don't have one off the top of my head. I do have a few local people who have been business owners, and I rely on them when I need mentorship. Yep. So shout out to Jim DeWitt over at Legend Security and Carrie Powers over with the Greater Irmo Chamber. They're definitely worth following if anybody can find them on Facebook.
Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
So this, you're going to laugh, but my favorite online tool is actually my calendar. I put everything on my Google Calendar and I have it hooked up to my phone. It allows me to send chats to people after the meeting. It's become my all around keeper. It keeps me on track. It keeps me informed. It lets me know everything that's going on. And yeah. Without it, I would be so lost. So I couldn't give you an honest answer outside of my calendar.
I know. I love Google Calendar as well. And I was thinking, I feel like they can add things on there to like send you reminders for tasks as well. I feel like that would be a really helpful feature for them to do.
Oh yeah.
Because you can add tasks, but like if they could email the tasks, maybe that's something that they already do that I just haven't figured out. But if they could do that, that would be really helpful.
I think you can. I think you can tell it to remind you. You just have to go into the advanced settings.
Okay. Yeah, I should check that out.
Awesome. I do that all the time. Slack also is very similar. I use Slack and it's like Google Calendar and then Slack. The two of them are so important for me.
Yeah, Slack's another huge one for sure. Very good. And then, okay, so last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That it's okay to say no and turn away business if it's not a good fit. I don't know how many times I've lost sleep at night because I brought someone on and I thought I could do it and I couldn't do it. I couldn't perform or I couldn't meet the person's expectations. And it's just not worth it to your health or to the stress of your staff or your employees. And at the end of the day, if you can't perform and they're never going to be happy, it's not good for your business.
Yeah, I agree. Great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cynthia. It was a pleasure to learn more about your journey of starting Cutthroat Marketing, and I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and it was nice chatting with you, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.